prayer.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me this morning, I would venture to speak a little to you from a word you will find in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 2, and we read verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You notice these words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ are really in answer to the question that these Pharisees and scribes put to the disciples concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who at this time was in the publican's house, Levi, that is Matthew, whom he had called to follow him as one of his true disciples. And it came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in his house. Evidently, Matthew being called, or as is named here, Levi, same man, being called by the Lord Jesus Christ, there was that which was wrought in his heart to, as it were, to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ to sit at meat with him. And many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And the scribes and Pharisees, viewing this, made this question known to the disciples: How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And it was in answer to that, because Jesus heard, he heard them questioning his disciples, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself answers the Pharisees and scribes on their behalf, as it were. And what a word it is, because it immediately reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who stated this word, was no less than this one good and great physician, the physician of souls. And all through the time the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth, how often he exercised his wonderful healing power amongst men in a literal sense. Many had been healed of their diseases and their sicknesses, and this demonstrated who he was, that he was no less than the Son of God. And yet so many there were, especially amongst the scribes and Pharisees, who were totally blind as they looked upon Jesus, and as they saw the things that he did, their hearts were so hardened, their minds were so blinded, as it were, that they could not see him, who he was. And even though his works proclaimed who he was, yet they still did not acknowledge him. And it only reminds us of our fallen state by nature, man in his fallen condition. And yet the wonderful mercy is this, that in this text we are reminded that there is one who came to seek and to save poor sinners, his dear people, and to be all that they needed to bring about their eternal salvation. And so as we try and look at this word this morning, I trust we might be helped to do so in the significance of it. We have really those things that remind us of the malady, of sin, and indeed those things that remind us of the one remedy, and that is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And in the light of what the Lord Jesus Christ says here, we are reminded of how many of these scribes and Pharisees were, as Jesus describes in this word, in a sense, in their own view, were whole. They didn't feel their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know themselves as needy sinners. Rather, they were wrapped up in their traditional religion, professing to be the people of God, professing to be Abraham's children, and it would seem most of them were well satisfied with their traditional religion and were totally ignorant of their true state before a holy and a heart-searching God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of those that are whole. And that is, of course, that in their own estimation, as it were, feeling no need of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many there are in these days in which we live are totally ignorant of their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, being totally ignorant of their condition as guilty sinners before a holy and a heart-searching God. And it is a great mercy, dear friends, if we have not been left to be ignorant of our condition as sinners before a holy God. It is one of the gracious dealings of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of sinners to reveal to them something of their sinful condition, and in the light of the text before us to reveal to them something of their sin-sick condition. And indeed sin is a terrible sickness. And while there were many who came to the Lord Jesus Christ with their bodily sicknesses and diseases, and the Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy, and as the good physician, was pleased to heal them, he had the ability to do so, he had the compassion and pity toward these who came to him. When you think of the disease of sin, that is far deeper, because it reaches the heart. And such is the awful condition by nature that we're in, as sinners. We are sick, we are diseased. Yes, altogether, through and through. Man will not accept this. And it is to be feared many religious people do not regard these things as being needful to know, and yet really how needful they are to know, for the Lord to make known to us our real sin-sick condition. And the word of God is very plain in describing this sin-sickness, that it is indeed a plague. It is a terrible sickness. And when man fell in the Garden of Eden, you see, these seeds of sinful sickness were sown, as it were, and therefore all mankind are partakers of that sin sickness. And yet so many are ignorant of this. And we have various words in the scripture to remind us of this sickness, this heart sickness, as it were. There's a very striking word in the first chapter of the prophet Isaiah, and the words are these: the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You see, it reminds us of the festering sores of sin. And sin is described in the Word of God so clearly as a spiritual leprosy, or it is a deep disease. Yes, a disease which is altogether beyond man's ability to deal with. And in this word which I've just read in your hearing, there is this that is added. Putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Whatever man may try to do to patch up his sinful condition, it is to no avail. You'll notice we've read in this chapter this morning where the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about trying to, as it were, patch up the old garment. And he says, no man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And under that, I know it's a different figure, but it sets forth the same truth. You see, man cannot patch up his sinful condition. No good resolutions will avail. We're sinners. And as it were, to try and patch up the old man, and there are those who try to do that and think they can do it. It is just like a man sewing a piece of new cloth on an old garment. And the effect is this, the rent is made worse. But what a mercy, dear friends, if we are not totally ignorant of this. Something of our sinful condition by nature, and that no effort of our own can remedy that dreadful malady that we, each one of us, are the subject of. I know some are led more deeply into these things, but you know, I believe this, everyone who is taught of the Spirit of God will know something to a greater or lesser degree of their sin sickness. Did not Solomon in his prayer at the dedication of the temple make reference to the character in these words, which should know, he says, every man the plague of his own heart? I know these are not pleasing things to the flesh, but we need to consider them. And a mercy, friends, if we've been made to know something of the plague of the heart. You see, sin is deep, isn't it? It affects the heart. And while we see many evidences and solemn evidences in these days of the effect of sin as it rears its ugly head around us in various ways, in all the wickedness that abounds, all springing from one root, evil root, that seed which was sown in Eden's garden. And we see the outward effects of it, but it only goes to show what there is in the heart of man. But those whom the Lord designs to make known his mercy, he will lead them into something of this and teach them something of the malady of sin. And how necessary it is, isn't it? Good it is if we are found amongst these who are sick. Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick. And you see, it was the sick ones that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Not the healthy ones, no, the sick ones, the needy ones, those who were bowed down with their various complaints. And these were the ones that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, the significance of this. Who will come to this good physician but sin-sick souls? They that are sick. And it is the sick ones that have need of the physician. Well, many of these scribes and Pharisees, they didn't consider themselves to be in the category of those who were like publicans and sinners. Or they considered they were on a far higher plane than such. And they despised these publicans and sinners, but we notice the Lord Jesus Christ didn't despise them. He even chose one publican to be one of the 12 disciples. And this shows to us how the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion upon sinners, didn't he? And it was for sinners that he came down into this world to live and to die. And it was that there should be sinners that would be called by his grace. This text speaks about sinners being called to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And think of the mercy of it. How low the Saviour stooped, didn't he? And you know, that is our hope, isn't it? If we know something of our state and condition as sinners, that will be our hope, that the Lord Jesus Christ stooped to sinners. These scribes and Pharisees, many of them, they felt no need of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were full of criticism, and so blind they were, and so hard in their spirit toward the Lord Jesus Christ, that they often overlooked the wonderful works that he did. And they criticised. They criticised the disciples. They criticised the Lord Jesus Christ. They questioned the things that he said. And as we read this morning of the poor man who was sick of the palsy, when the Lord Jesus Christ granted him that wonderful blessing, far greater than to be healed of his palsy, and that was for his sins to be forgiven. Oh, they immediately rose up in their spirit, as it were. When they heard the Lord Jesus Christ speak to this poor man, and they reasoned in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And they were so blind to the wonderful mercy and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ made manifest to poor needy people, that they were always ready to criticise and seek to undermine the great truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who he was. Such they were. But you see, the thing was, they didn't know themselves. They didn't know themselves. You remember how the Lord Jesus Christ spake the parable, didn't he, of the Pharisee and the publican going up to the temple to pray, and what a distinction between the two. The Pharisee was certainly not a sin-sick soul, was he? No, he was indeed one of these who are whole. They that are whole have no need of the physician. And as the Lord Jesus Christ described him in his so-called devotions in the temple, he had no need. He didn't ask for one mercy, did he? There were no requests in his prayer. He thought he could thank God for all that he was and all that he'd accomplished as a religious Pharisee. And yet, how solemnly deceived. But how different with the publican. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke those parables with an end in view, didn't he? And that parable he spoke to those who trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. These Pharisees and scribes, many of them, they despised others. They despised the Lord Jesus Christ. And they despised these whom they regarded as sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he even sat at meat with them. And it was this that raised the question, as it were, amongst them to the disciples. And then Jesus gave this wonderful answer. And so as we try and consider this morning, I hope we might be helped to do so profitably. These gracious words of the Lord Jesus Christ, reminding us first of the terrible malady of sin, because you see, it needed no less than the dear Son of God to come down and to relieve the situation, as it were, and the sad condition of man in his fallen condition. It needed no less than the Son of God to come down into this world and for this purpose to save sinners, to redeem them, yes, and to heal the awful disease of sin that they were found in, because there was a purpose of grace. There were to be those who were to be delivered from this dreadful malady, those who should know something of the glorious and blessed remedy. What a mercy the Lord in his thoughts toward mankind. What a mercy that he designed to save. He did not leave all to perish in their sins and to receive the due wages of their sins. Sin which would bring death. And while all have to enter into that experience that is of death in the literal sense of the word, yet there are those who are saved from the second death and blessed with life divine in their hearts. And there's one outstanding aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend, I feel, in the hymn that you sung just now brings it out, doesn't it? That is, he gives life. You see, not only are we sin-sick sinners, a disease, but there is death. There is death. Now, in a literal sense, and when you think on the human level, as soon as there is death, well, then the cleverest physician is powerless. He cannot bring back to life. But here is a physician that, in the first place, he brings back to life. He died that sinners might live. And while this dreadful sickness has brought about a spiritual death in the soul of man, here this wondrous good physician is the one who can raise from the dead. This was demonstrated, wasn't it, in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was here upon earth, when he raised the dead. Yes, he raised the dead. Those who had ceased to live, as it were, like Lazarus, and buried in the grave. What a demonstration, the almighty power and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well then, this dreadful malady, this sickness, a mercy to know something of it, to know something of what it is to feel and realize, especially at times, the plague of the heart. And we're still sinners, and we shall be so to the end of the journey. And those whom the Lord is pleased to deal with by his grace and bless with those blessings of salvation still have to realize that they have a sinful nature, and this being so, how such hath resort to this good physician again yet again? Such is the disease then. But then you see, we have the distinction. Here were some the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of as being whole. That was whole in their own estimation, their esteem. Had no knowledge of their sin-sick condition. It was not a sickness to them. Now, it has to be said, doesn't it, that all have sinned. Yes, we're all diseased by this dreadful malady, but how many know it? Just as many as the Holy Spirit is pleased to teach by his good spirit and convince of their sin and make them know something of this malady, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. And a mercy if you and I are found amongst those. And while it is a humbling, it can be a painful truth to learn. Yes, our condition as sinners before a holy God. And for there to be at times those things that remind us of our sinful condition. Yes, the heart sins. A great mercy to be kept outwardly. And we must acknowledge God's mercy where this is so. But all the inward sins. Yes. what we are by nature within. Heart sins. And such know what it is to feel to be sick. Jesus said, but they that are sick, in contrast to them that are whole. Now, there is then the blessed remedy. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one and only physician, the good physician. There's a wonderful word, isn't there? In Jeremiah's prophecy, it is a question, isn't there? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? It is one of those pointers to the Lord Jesus Christ, really. The balm of Gilead. We understand this balm was very precious. It was got healing properties. It was very precious. And there's something about this that reminds us of the manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ did indeed become the good physician. We understand they had to pierce these trees to obtain the balm. It used to, the tree being lacerated somewhat, it would bleed, as it were. And that was the balm, very precious. But oh, how it points to the good physician, doesn't it? Reminding us of how he suffered. Suffered for sinners. Oh, this good physician was the one who suffered altogether beyond what any human being could ever enter into. He suffered for sinners. And what he suffered. And my thoughts went to that wonderful chapter, also in Isaiah, chapter 53, I think it is. We have a wonderful setting forth of the suffering Saviour. And among many things that you find in that chapter, which have direct reference to the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sufferings and his death, we have this word, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And there's this word, and with his stripes we are healed. And with his stripes we are healed. Reminding us of the healing virtue of a suffering Jesus. Oh, he suffered, didn't he? Stripes were laid upon him. Cruel men scourged the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet that word is, with his stripes we are healed. Surely it reminds us of the exceeding sinfulness of sin and what it cost the dear Saviour to bring about healing. And what he suffered at the hands of cruel men. And yet, you see, it was in the fact that he was made sin for his people and that he endured what otherwise would have to come upon all sinners, the condemnation, yes, from the justice of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as a suffering Saviour, bore that for his people. And he suffered those stripes. all those dreadful scourgings. But this was for sin. What it cost the dear Saviour to bring about forgiveness and healing with his stripes, we are healed. And when at length the Lord Jesus Christ was hung upon the cross and shed his precious blood, there was one, the soldier, who pierced his side. And we read how that there came forth water and blood. Here was the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Here is the source of all healing for sinners diseased with their sin, that while they have no ability whatever to relieve the situation of their sickness, their disease, in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything was done for the healing of all his dear people. And oh, the virtue of his precious blood, the virtue of those sufferings. And while he suffered as man, and he needed to become man to suffer, yet he was God to save. There is a line in a hymn. It is not in our book, but it is a good hymn. It is this: man to suffer, but God to save. And as we try and think of this wondrous physician, the God-man Jesus Christ, he came to bind up, as it were, and while the Holy Spirit gives the wound and convince sinners know something of what it is to be wounded with their sin, they feel to be afflicted in that way as they are brought to some knowledge of their sinnership, their guiltiness before God. Here is one that binds up the wound. He has all that is needed to heal their wounds. And while you and I have no mollifying ointment, as it were, in the Lord Jesus Christ there is healing. And it is complete healing. And how this was signified, wasn't it, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his ability to heal even bodily diseases. It was perfect healing. You think of the leper. And I like the record in Luke's Gospel concerning that leper. And he tells us there that the leper, as he came to Jesus, such was his condition that he was full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. Not just a spot here and there, but he was full of it. And now that describes sin, doesn't it? Describes the malady. But oh, the healing. And the dear man came with his petition, didn't he? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What faith there was, wasn't there, in the Lord Jesus Christ? And Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It was a complete healing. Not just a little covering up or a partial recovery. It was a complete healing. Now that is the way the Lord Jesus Christ heals these poor sinful lepers that you and I are by nature. It is a complete healing. Doesn't the hymn writer put it something like this? Seek my soul, no other healing but in Jesus' balmy blood. Oh, we need this physician, dear friends. What can man do to heal the disease? He can do nothing. He's a sinner. He's a sin-sick soul. He's diseased from head to foot, as it were, and within the heart. But here's a physician that is able and has the ability, yes, to heal these or taught to mourn over their sin. Made to feel the sinfulness of it and the malady of it. And how do we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we come as sinners? I notice what Jesus says here. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The words of the good physician. and he calls these sinners. He calls them to himself, and he calls them to repentance. Notice this. You see, we, such is our fallen condition, we cannot repent of ourselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls sinners to repentance. And one of the aspects of that effectual and gracious call is this, that he calls them to repentance. Yes, they are taught to mourn over their sins, to grieve over this sad condition, this malady. And there's repentance wrought in the heart, godly sorrow for sin. And dear friends, if we should have just a glimpse of the suffering Saviour and what it cost to the dear Lord Jesus Christ to put away sin, surely it should melt our hearts. Sad it is, we're so often unmoved, aren't we? But oh, this gracious God-given repentance, oh, to know it more, to feel it more, for our hearts to be dissolved a little with a sense of the mercy of God to us as sinners. I came not to call the righteous, that is the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here then are the words of this good physician. And what a mercy it is, he does call these sinners, doesn't he? We read in the Gospels how that one another came to the Lord Jesus Christ with their diseases, and they soon proved that it was no vain thing to come. But here the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of how he, by his Spirit, he calls these sinners to himself. And this is one of the gracious dealings of the Holy Spirit in this matter. He who reveals the malady, he reveals the remedy. He leads poor sinners. Yes, and the Lord Jesus Christ calls these sinners. There's a wonderful harmony, as it were, in this to be considered with regard to the gracious dealings of God to poor sinners. And he calls them to him. And there is that wonderful word, isn't there? And really, you can think of it as a word to these poor people, these poor sinners who feel to be diseased with their sin and burdened with it. There are those wonderful words, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." And now you can know no rest unless there's healing. All these festering sores need to be healed. Well, what a wonderful mercy it is. There is this good and kind physician. And in so many ways in the Word of God, he is set forth as this wonderful physician, this good physician, this able physician. I think of the parable spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. What a sad condition the thieves left him in. Wounded, robbed and spoiled. Left along the roadside half dead. Passed by the priest and the Levite. But there's one who came to him, the Samaritan. And a certain Samaritan, says Jesus, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now the mercy is this, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ came where poor sinners are. He stooped so low, didn't he? Now he demonstrated this, didn't he, so many times. And in this instance here, as he sat with these publicans and sinners, he came where they were. And that's what we need, don't we? We need a Saviour who can come to us where we are. What could that poor man do by the roadside half dead? He couldn't obtain any relief in any effort of his own. He was there in a dying condition. And we, as in our condition as sinners, are in a dying condition. But there was one, the Good Samaritan, and he came where he was. And then he had compassion, didn't he? And he had the necessaries to effect a healing. Not only was there compassion, he had the ability. He had the wonderful resources to deal with the poor man's condition. And all this points to the Lord Jesus Christ as the good physician. There's compassion. Yes, and he comes where poor sinners are. And he has all that is required. Yes, to bring about a complete and perfect healing. And as the Samaritan poured in the oil and the wine, you think of the fullness there is in the Lord Jesus Christ as the good physician. And you see the gospel proclaims this. Yeah, and there is, as it were, the oil and the wine of the gospel that the Holy Spirit pours in to poor sinners in their sin-sick condition. You see, the gospel is a gospel to sinners, isn't it? It's not a gospel to the self-righteous. And that is the reason why many of these scribes and Pharisees were so blind to who the Lord Jesus Christ was. They didn't feel their need of him. And he meant nothing to them. But he meant everything to poor sinners. These poor needy ones. But what a wondrous physician. And just as the good Samaritan, you see, poured in the oil and the wine, and he set him on his own beast and took him to an inn. Yes, and there was provision made to take care of that poor man. And this wondrous physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes care of his people. Yes, he watches over them. Amidst all their failings and their sins, he still watches over them, and he will preserve them unto his heavenly kingdom, and they shall know that healing in the fullest sense of the word. And these who are sick need the physician then. While we have the words of Jesus in that first, in the negative sense, they that are whole have no need of the physician. We have the positive word here, but they that are sick. And dear friends, if you and I are found amongst these, it is a mercy, because sin-sick souls will value the physician, no one else. And surely the deeper we may learn of our sinfulness and the malady of sin, the more we shall prize the good physician. We shall have clearer views of him, and he will be made more precious to us. You see, the self-satisfied, there may be some profession of religion, may be some profession of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but what is it? It is all superficial. But spirit-taught sinners come to learn the value of the sinner's friend, and the sinner's friend as this good physician. And it is to him they have to come. And surely, dear friends, you'll have to come again and again. Come to this fountain, which is open for sin and uncleanness. You see, sin is so defiling, isn't it? And I read it in your hearing, that description in the first chapter of Isaiah about the putrefying sores, uncleanness. But there's the fountain which is open fountain for sin and uncleanness, fountain for sinners. And the mercy is, dear friends, you can come again and again to that fountain. Good it is to be kept conscious of our need of it, because we're sinners, and yes, we still sin. It's still in us by nature, and it will be so with us to the end of the journey. But what a mercy, there is still the remedy, and there's still this healing. It still flows in all the fullness of it, in all the virtue of it, And the mercy is this, it still flows in the freeness of it. One has said in the hymn, and no payment he demandeth when he makes the wounded whole. So then, after these scribes and Pharisees questioned the disciples about the Lord Jesus Christ mixing with these publicans and sinners, it brought forth this wonderful word from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ: they that are whole have no need of the physician, but to they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, the self-satisfied, but sinners to repentance. God grant we may know both something of the malady, really and truly, and indeed something of the remedy. Yes, to know something what it is to be healed and cleansed in that fountain, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else can bring this about. No good works can obtain this. We have no healing medicines. That is a word in Jeremiah's prophecy, that there are no healing medicines. And how true that is. Man may try to patch up, as it were, his sinful condition, but it is impossible to do that. We need the good physician. Yes, and him alone. And he is that physician. Yes, one has said in the hymn, heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls, to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Amen.
Number 976.